Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Last morning for us for a little while, Justin. So rub the sleep out of your eyes and let's do it.
Yeah, they're calling it officially the end of season one.
Well, a
little
for
the
break
Fan Morning
us.
Show with Ailish and Justin.
That a little breaky
a
break.
A little break. We can kind of reset, start things anew after a couple weeks on Fan Drive Time. But yeah, if you missed it, we're headed to the afternoons for 2 weeks starting on Monday. And I was doing the math too. I'm like, wow, this is my last wake up. At 4:20 in the morning for like 18 days. I was like, oh, man.
Your body's going to wake you up, though. Just say no.
No.
It will. One of those days.
Doing this job, I'm at the point where, like, I'm generally so tired all the time that in any circumstance I can sleep. It's pretty good. That's the one benefit of that.
Well, I was driving in being like, oh, you know, it's the last time I get from point A to point B in the morning in under 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's...
This is the best driving I will have for the next 2 weeks in the city of Toronto.
That is the other benefit for sure.
Not a single car out there.
Knowing exactly how long it's going to take to get from one place to the other is pretty nice.
Well, now we're going to be commuting in the later afternoon, and it's going to be a whole can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to really use that Waze app to figure it out because it might take me quadruple the time it takes me.
You might have to it might have to be double the kilometers just to get here. Like you might have to go just the long way around.
Yeah, we gotta figure it out. We're
we'll
5 to 7
we'll
next week on 590 covering the drive time show in the Blair and Barker spot. I know that's confusing, but just turn on your radio at 5 p.m. and you'll hear us or your TV. Your TV as well. So we'll be there next week, and then the following week will be 3 to 5, and then we'll be back. And we'll have Sam McKee and Brent Gunning covering for a majority of those days. But next Monday, producer Daniele, let me see your head, Daniele. Give us a fist pump.
Smile.
He's covering in with Jesse Rubinoff.
Yes. It will be the Dan Morning Show.
Be the Dan Morning Show. Yes. With Jesse Rubinoff. That's Monday. Then the rest of the 2 weeks will be Gunning and McKee because they're out vacationing in a golf tournament now.
They're living the life of the golf guys, eh?
So they won't
be
back in time.
They walk it and they talk it. I guess they talk it first and now they're walking it.
They're probably driving it in the golf
They
cart.
Probably
they're
are.
Not walking it.
They're living the life of golf guys. So it'll be good. Those four guys, of course, will be in our podcast feed as well. And we're going to be taking over the Fan Drive Time feed. A lot of information off the bat here.
Just a little break. And we'll be back in a couple weeks. And when we come back, the very first show we're doing is the Jay's Care Golf Show Tournament.
Right. Which we did last year. That is the start of season two because we did it last year.
Rattlesnake Point Golf Club in Milton will be there live. That's the 24th of July. We'll be doing the Jay's Care Golf Tournament from there. And then apparently we get to golf after. So win.
It's the par. Is it not the par three?
It doesn't matter. We're still golfing. So
I like the par three. Just like, you know, it's as much as sitting
it's
around talking sports isn't
there.
Exactly like, you know, working 12 hours in a, you know,
certainly not
at a construction site or something like that. You know, I could just like have a couple
nice little
couple
reward,
beers
though.
And just 18 short holes and drive around and nice leisure activity.
So last morning for us for a little while, but we will certainly miss our morning listeners. So you better tune in on your drive home because you're going somewhere in the morning. You're also going somewhere on the way home. So catch us then. I might just tune in the text line to say hello. I'm going to miss them. Giacomo, Giacomo better message
names.
Us at 5.
There's some familiar
PM.
Names in the afternoon that come
Good.
Up in the morning as well. So
all right.
Definitely come say hi.
Go squad, go. All right. Great big Friday today for us to wrap things up. We will be doing an Alek Manoah tarot card reading, folks, in 30 minutes. So whatever you need to do to mentally prepare for that, do it now. Grab your coffee. Put yourself in a good mindfulness space because we can't predict what might happen when these cards are pulled.
And just as a reminder, it kind of did, the tarot cards, that is, predict the future of Kyle Dubas, of course.
Oh,
because
we did.
If there's
it was
one
freaky.
Change with the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's been
the knives
Kyle
in
Dubas,
the back.
And it's been the knives in the back of Kyle Dubas because he did not see his death coming, you know, the death being just his dismissal from the Toronto Maple Leafs. But he did not see it coming because they were expected to have a deal, of course, and Shanahan on a fateful drive home, as he tells it, decided otherwise. So, yeah, these tarot cards might hold some serious power. So we will try to predict Alek Manoah's immediate and long-term future with the Toronto Blue Jays as he gets the ball tonight.
In 30 minutes. So stay tuned. Before then, we got lots of positives, though. So I feel like that's a really good stepping point in a hopeful trickle effect into tonight's game. Obviously, the Blue Jays have a big opportunity. All eyes. Ratings will be through the roof tonight. I'm telling you. Sportsnet, Rogers will be pumped.
It's the biggest game of the year.
I actually think that that's not hyperbole.
100%.
Alek Manoah making his return tonight. The game is at 6:30, folks. 6:30. We just had some 8 o'clock games and then a rain delay that made... What time did they start last night? 9:30 or something?
I'm not exactly sure, but yeah.
It was a blur.
It was just baseball.
I didn't...
My entire conscious day, there was Blue Jays baseball.
I didn't get up off my couch from like 5 till 11:30. It was just a slug. I became one with the cushions. Mm-hmm. So much baseball. But 6:30 tonight on Sportsnet, Sportsnet Now, Sportsnet 590 Fan, etc. Alek Manoah makes his return. Highly anticipated. All eyes will be on the Puma on the mound. But I will say, probably no better doubleheader besides the fact that there was an extra innings that pushed it a little later than what we saw yesterday to prepare yourself for a game where you have a little bit of a question mark on the mound.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, here's the thing. The doubleheaders can be like devastating or they can be very, very positive. And granted, playing 18 plus innings, which the Blue Jays did yesterday. So a lot of running back and forth. And to quote Whit Merrifield, who said, I'm tired in his post-game interview with Hazel May. Yeah, that can be a little bit taxing. I imagine it would be. But it is more taxing if you don't get the results from it, right? Like if you get on the plane after and you've dropped two straight ball games against a bad team, you're not going to be feeling very good about yourself. But the beer, if they're going to have a couple, which they deserve after spending 7 hours on a baseball field, it's going to taste pretty good after two big wins, a series sweep over the Chicago White Sox, getting on that bird and going to Detroit for a big game, arguably the biggest of the season, I think will feel and be a much better experience after the two victories. They weren't easy victories. They weren't the prettiest victories, but the Blue Jays got it done.
So let's start with game one. If you are a fan of great pitching, that was for you. You got a taste of two head-to-head starting pitchers and bullpens that really delivered. Honestly, one of the tightest matched games that we've seen in Blue Jays this season. Barrios, obviously, looking absolutely, like we've said this a couple times, we have John Morosi on at 7, so we can recircle this conversation, but the bounce back candidate of the year, someone that has come fully back into form, and then not only fully back into form, but elevated above the form that we had seen of Jose Barrios as him. He was lights out. On the other side, Lance Lynn, who I don't think we gave Lance Lynn enough credit, because that guy was... Like Blair and Barker made a good point post game. They're like, if anyone's happy that isn't a Blue Jay or wear a Blue Jays, someone in the stands wearing a Blue Jays jersey, it's the manager of the Chicago White Sox, because Lance Lynn helped his trade value significantly yesterday.
Yeah.
Someone that they might be selling off. And if you watched just Lance Lynn yesterday, you want him.
Yeah, I mean, Barrios is having the season bounce back. That was the bounce back just in the season or mid-season for Lance Lynn.
It's just one, but...
Barrios was outstanding, but his performance paled in comparison to who the Chicago White Sox had on the bump. He struck out 11, and he made the Blue Jays look as bad as they've looked offensively maybe all year.
Oh, like,
that was we were marching towards a really miserable conclusion.
A negative
to that
start
game.
To this show.
And again, they won in 11 innings. So the White Sox had their opportunity after the Blue Jays did not score in the 10th. But of course, the Blue Jays bullpen did a tremendous job every time they were out there yesterday. But like it definitely felt really obvious. It felt certain, rather, that we were headed towards a pretty brutal result in the first game. But then, you know, they got Lance Lynn off the mound way before that. But the floodgates just opened in the 11th inning with just all the good luck.
It was crazy.
That you didn't get
all
over the course of 10 innings and even beyond. Yeah, like all year long, everything the Blue Jays hit wound up in a good spot, and they just piled it on. The White Sox allowing for Thomas Hatch to come in a low leverage spot and finish things up, even though it was a little less comfortable than it needed to be in the 11th inning. But yeah, I mean, they just could not get anything on Lance Lynn. It was not happening.
11 Ks.
It was not happening.
And like back to back to back to back to back.
And then they struck out 13 times in the game. Through 9 innings, they struck out 3 more times in the 10th inning. It was just like, what are we watching here? There's absolutely nothing going on from the Blue Jays offensively. And then all of a sudden, as I mentioned, everything snaps into place. Everything starts to work. Mm-hmm. And they get the W. Like, not that, you know, a month ago, they don't win that game. Who knows if they win that game a month ago. If it's another team, they probably lose that game.
Yeah.
A lot earlier than they were given a chance to actually win it. But sticking around long enough to get that victory, getting a win where you were just outclassed from a pitching perspective, at least in terms of your offense and what you were able to bring to the table, and not wasting that Jose Berríos start, all very good things. And I'm sure it's helped set the table for actually getting the win in the doubleheader mm-hmm. after what was not so good of a pitching performance from Yusei Kikuchi.
Time and time again, we've been saying, wow, it'd be great to get these starting pitchers some runs, you know. Berríos going 7 innings, Bassett, Kikuchi was a little bit of a different story in terms of like his game, but still, like it was quiet in yesterday's game, 1-for-28 at the plate through 9 innings.
Wow.
That's maybe the worst of the season. I felt like it, but then you line this up really great. The 11th inning, obviously we'll get to the offensive breakthrough that was, but that 10th inning with Jordan Romano on the mound was, again, like, was it Tuesday night? His slider was unhittable. He came in a big opportunity and delivered, but last night, or I guess it was early evening, there we go, game number one, slider's looking unhittable again through the best of the order in that 10th inning, which lines him up perfectly for an 11th inning where they have this offensive explosion. And a lot of it was like, well, how did that even get through the gap? Like, where did that ball go? Seeing eye here through this guy. Like, it was almost like I was laughing a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. wow, this is all happening in the same inning. There was Danny's roller down the third baseline. Like, you're like, come on, that's going to go foul. Doesn't. So that's a good, perfect bounce. Springer single up the middle. Just happened to go right in the perfect spot. Then Bo has that other seeing eye single. Perfect spot. Vladdy has an RBI. Then Varsho with a bunt. That was a perfect bunt.
Every time Dalton Varsho does that, because he does it, he doesn't miss with it. Like it's like every time he decides to do it, it works. And I know you can't do it all the time, but I'm like, I want to see that mm-hmm. more Dalton Varsho because
but don't push your luck. No, it's
one of the most effective tools in Major League Baseball right now. Like he does not miss. Has he been thrown out doing that all year?
I don't know, but I think he's leading. They said a stat on the broadcast. I think it was like since. I'm not even going to pretend I know what it is, but they said that he was one of the best. Basically, he's like, he's killing the bunt game. Okay,
I would imagine.
I forget the stat, but anyway. All of that was happening, just like this continuous momentum was building. A bummer of an inning. Wink, wink. That was the name of their pitcher. I saw Josh also tweeted that out. Yeah, it's a good pun.
And it was a bummer because, like, he was not pitching poorly.
No, and I felt bad for him for 10 seconds. I was like, man,
I felt a little bad. This
guy's like... He's just getting bad bounce and a little bit of bad defense, but you can't even put it all in the defense because it was just perfectly placed hits. Like, anyway, that inning was really great to watch. Then I think it added a little bit of momentum into the next game. Could it not? Like, you just finished on a really dynamite 11th inning to win a game. First time since, was it 1976, to score your first 6 runs in extra innings?
I mean, that's a wacky stat.
That's
for
so
sure.
Weird.
It is. I mean, it was a weird, weird baseball game.
But you win them sometimes.
And the first time in a very long time. I'm not going to do the math on that. Almost a quarter century where you score 6 runs, your first 6 runs of a ball game in extra innings is pretty wild.
47 years.
There you go.
That's
you did
crazy.
The math.
Google did it. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, but you know what? The Blue Jays don't always get those bounces. They... feel mm-hmm. like we never get those bounces.
And you earn those bounces when you pitch as well as they did. Yeah. And it wasn't just Berríos. You mentioned Romano. I mean, mm-hmm. getting to that point was a very, very strong pitching performance, an impressive one at that, but also part of what we've been seeing all year, like the strengths of this ball club, despite Alek Manoah not being Alek Manoah, and a bullpen every fifth day that you're trying to hide and you're trying to get yourself out of the way of when you're just relying on 4 guys. The starting pitching for this team has been very, very good.
How about Jay
good.
Jackson?
Well, he's not a starter, but the starting pitching has been very, very good. And the bullpen was very good at all points yesterday.
Yeah, I think he gets the call up. He gets the win. I mean, it's just a nice story because later on in the day, Nate Pearson gets his first save. So I just think it was just like, you know, there's some nice, their pitching narratives were great yesterday for most of it.
No, you're mixing the ball games here. No? Jake Jackson was second game, gets the win.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and then, sorry, and then Nate Pearson gets the save, same mm-hmm. game. Yeah, you know what? It's just a blur of baseball. I didn't
it
get
was
up
a blur
once.
Of baseball. And what's crazy is, I think the only guy who didn't get out there was Eric Swanson. I might be missing one, but in terms
it
of...
It felt like you saw everybody else, didn't it?
But it was a... Part of the storyline coming in was like, okay, you got to save something for Jordan, or for Alek Manoah, right? Like,
yes.
what is this game going to look like if Alek Manoah blows up? And I guess they do have the contingency plan in place because the other guy who didn't get out there was Bowden Francis, and Bowden Francis could go out there and do mop-up duty if need be. But at the very least, say, if you're in a position where you can win this ball game, and hopefully they are because it's Detroit and it's Manoah and it's big and the stakes are what they are, you got your eighth and ninth inning guy, hopefully, because Swanson's rested. He's going to have 2 full days of rest, and I think Jordan Romano, despite the usage lately here, he'll be okay
yeah,
to go
he could,
today.
He so, could definitely deliver.
I think the Blue Jays, despite the doubleheader, despite having to go 11 innings in the first game of the doubleheader, have set themselves up where they are not going to be completely shorthanded and completely taxed because this is a big night and the support for Manoah might be crucial. So you got your long guy who can come in Francis, I imagine, and you might have late innings if high leverage if you get to the point where you need to close out a game for Alek Manoah.
Yeah, even on a quick turnaround as well. So earlier game today, the flight, we laid that out yesterday, you know, a little bit of a delay in terms of getting that second game started. I was sitting there thinking, do they shower between games? Like you finish game one, it's sticky, it's hot in Chicago, but like, do you take all your stuff off, hop in the shower, put all your stuff back on? I know you probably in Major League Baseball have another whole kit waiting there.
Yeah.
But are you also, hey, we won that game. We got some good luck at the end. Like, I'm not changing out of this superstitious mindset that athletes have. Like, I honestly don't know what I would do in that situation. I've obviously played in hockey tournaments where, you know, you play in the morning, you play in the afternoon, whatever. It's a little bit different because you kind of got the mindset that it's like a hockey tournament. Like, you're just a dirt bag the whole time. But you're in the major leagues. You definitely can go back in that locker room and get yourself as comfy as possible. Do you shower or do you not shower between the games? Let me know.
Well, I think it's a good point with the luck thing. They do have fresh jerseys. I think they wore different jerseys.
Well, they got a whole new kit. They're not putting this sweaty
I'm remembering correctly, they wore the dark blues in the first game.
It's all a blur.
They wore the light blues in the second game, for sure. You would change your gear, I think, unless it's all that superstitious thing.
Then you would shower. You're not going to put...
Maybe not. You don't have much time. Like, what do you have to do between...
Yeah, they wore dark
Buck
blue.
Martinez today.
Yeah, true.
We'll have to ask him exactly.
They wore dark
what they
blue in the first game, baby blue in the second game. So
but
they obviously changed
like
their clothes.
You might want to get to your phone and, like, you know, catch up and see if, you know, family's okay.
But
what else
it was
do you
sticky
do?
And hot there.
Do you have to do a scouting report or are you like you did that beforehand?
Well, yeah, you want to look at their pitcher. And I
you
think
haven't
they,
done that beforehand?
They changed. It was supposed to be Dylan Cease or. Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and then
and
whoever they put on.
Schultons?
Like, it wasn't like, oh my God, we need to get in the video room. But yeah, you probably want to brush up a bit.
Doesn't leave much time.
I think half the team showered and half the team said no.
You're probably right. But there are some maniacs in sports that, like, if you just walk into a clubhouse, they're immediately showering. Like, showering before the game.
Yeah, I had teammates like that, too. It was
weird. It's just like, that's the first thing they do.
Like, are you not clean? Like, what were you doing all day?
They prefer showering in the locker room.
I mean, it was nice to have a big shower in the locker room. Like, you're not
but
in your tiny little...
it's not as good as the comfort of your own home.
Well, different. I'm talking college.
And you don't have the things that you would
where
have.
Where you're in a shared dorm bathroom.
Isn't it just prestige at Dartmouth, though? Even the bathrooms?
Okay. A lot of it is old and historic, so they're not top-notch always. But the locker room is a big shower. It was weird. Yeah, people shower before games. I'm like, what
but
are you doing?
I've known people that, like, you know, men's league, they'll just come and shower before a game.
That's weird.
It's weird. But people are like that. I'm sure there are people that need to do that. Like, they would need to shower before the game just because of superstition.
Well, I will tell you, once you get in a routine, and if your routine is you get to the ballpark and you feel clean and fresh and everything you're putting on your body is clean and fresh and not sweaty, I think there's people in that locker room that as soon as the game ended, did a cool down, hopped in the shower, rinsed the day off, and got back in fresh new gear and got out there again.
You got to eat, too. Like, there's a lot to do.
There's about, what, and 45 minutes between games?
I don't know what it was. I can only time it in that I left right after the game to walk my dog. And when I came back through the doors, George Springer had a 1-0 count. So it was like, it was the time to walk a dog, which is about a half hour.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great 590-590 text line question.
I don't know. You're in
this situation. Are you quickly jumping in the shower or not?
Can you multitask? You, like, jam a pizza slice in while you're showering?
It's been done before. It's like a shower beer, but a shower slice.
Yeah.
I would say that in this situation, I probably wouldn't have showered, as gross as that is.
I wouldn't either.
We can be disgusting dirtbags, no problem.
No, I mean, that's the day.
Vibes are high.
That is the day. Like, your day continues after that. You're not done.
The shower after.
When you shower, you're done.
Two games.
Oh, yeah.
Gross. Burn the elbow pads that you were wearing.
Elbow pads. Might have to burn something else closer to the body.
Okay. Okay, game two. Somebody in the text line says, disgusting if you don't shower, but some athletes are gross. One says, I had a buddy who showered before every tournament game when we played hockey. It worked. He has always scored at least once. Every game he did it. Okay.
Well, that's the worst. But like, if you're playing in a hockey tournament, the biggest challenge is keeping everything dry.
That's the thing. You're already putting on wet gear. Like, we're not in the MLB where you have a fresh kit.
If it was like 2 hours between games, I would just stay in the gear.
Ew, are you nuts?
The worst thing ever is putting on...
2 hours?
Okay,
how do you warm up again?
What do you mean warm up again? You're still in it.
Warm your body up. Like, stretch.
You're still in it.
No. Your body, you just sat in disgust.
No.
You're going to pull a groin. You have to cool down and warm up.
I'm not a professional athlete. If you're just sitting around slugging beers in a dressing room between games, the worst thing is taking everything off and putting wet gear back on, and then you feel like you're 20 pounds heavier because everything's wet.
Yeah, but your body is full of lactic acid.
You're in the germ. You're in the germ. Just stay in the germ if you're in the germ.
No, I can't do that.
Oh, you stay. You stay. What's the worst piece of wet hockey you're going to put on?
Shin pads.
Yeah.
I actually like wet gloves
Me too.
You know what? The skates are the skates. I used to not wear socks, as disgusting as that is.
Shin pads, elbow pads.
Shin pads, and they feel heavy on your legs, right? You can't move your... It's like sludge.
That's why I don't like changing out of it. In the germ. Stay in the germ. Shin pad. Wet shin pad. It's the worst feeling ever.
In college, we ended up getting, by the end of my career, the glove dryers. It was like, we invested in glove dryers. And I tried it once, and I hated it. It was like crunchy. People were between.
They made them crunchy?
Well, like dry. I didn't like the dry hands feeling.
Yeah.
And people were like, thought they were sick. Like, as soon as we got off the ice, they like, tossed their gloves to the trainer. Like, yo, dry these. I'm like, you didn't even play.
I'd be tossing it and then toss them back to me because I need the, I'm with you. I need the wet glove.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's crispy, it's just like.
Oh, no, your hands, you don't have hands at
that
point.
But I thought the point with the dryer was like, it's not wet, not crispy.
I don't really know. I did it once and I hated it, so I never touched it again. It probably could help my game. Anyway, okay, game two. We've moved on. I don't know if you showered or not, but I didn't, and Justin didn't either. We're back. We sit back on the couch, and it's game two. Blue Jays rally from behind, 3-1 deficit to complete this three-game sweep and a season sweep of the White Sox. So, two hit, two home run wit.
Doesn't have the same ring,
does
it?
No, it doesn't, but... proud father, friend of the show. I'm sure he was watching. Just got to shout out the dads of the show. Mr. Whit Merrifield's father.
You keep thinking I was there for that interview. I was not there.
Oh, yeah, but
you've referenced it multiple times.
He's so wonderful.
Like,
I love him.
What are you talking about? He's a good guy,
the X Factor.
Seems to be resonating with you.
With the MVP. Certainly well-deserved. He's just coming in clutch. Fourth multi-home run game in his career.
There you go. And it's not obviously commonplace for Whit Merrifield to be hitting two home runs in a game, but the two hits, you know, you have the nickname for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it does roll better with the two hit win.
Yeah,
but very, very important because Yusei Kikuchi, as we were talking about, was not sharp whatsoever. And I was like, how long are you leaving him in there? I get you have to save members of the bullpen,
mm-hmm.
But this is going south here. And the only thing that kept them in it, well, not just the only thing, but some pretty good offensive. Some timely hitting to start that game. And, of course, Whit Merrifield was at the forefront of that with his two home runs. And, of course, Vladdy getting the base hit. That
puts them 16 hits yesterday.
Yesterday in total?
In the final game.
In the final game. That's what I mean. It was like...
insane.
It just turned on a dime with that explosion in the 11th inning. And they were very, very good offensively in the second game. And they could have put even more runs on the board. But the power returns, especially with Witt. You start getting those base hits. You get enough for Kikuchi to get you a spot where your bullpen can take over again. And then your guy, Jay Jackson, comes in.
There he
and
is.
He gets a win.
That's the game.
With a pretty good spot. And he was, you know, it was
and
important,
Nate Pearson.
Though. I mean, they needed more from the bullpen because, you know, they were in a position to you get a little extra with the doubleheader. You use your bodies the way they should have been used, to perfection even. And as mentioned, the cherry on top is saving Eric Swanson for today.
Great to see, and I brought it a few times, but I mean, the Nate Pearson story has been one full of roadblocks and roller coaster hurdles and ups and downs. First career save, when they kept him in there for that opportunity, like high leverage, and it was really good to see him deliver. I feel like I want to see Nate Pearson just find his own, and he certainly has done that in a role that isn't the starter, and I'm sure the shift from being a starter to not being a starter is a difficult mental hurdle and a block, but great to see that for him. He did get the one hit, but getting that is a big check mark. Jay Jackson as well. Like, those are small things that I just think give this team a little bit more confidence, maybe a little bit of a boost. People obviously are rallying for him. Jay Jackson gets called up. He gets an opportunity. Like, those are tiny little things I think can make a difference in this team. And 16 hits leading into tonight, like, you're feeling really good about your offense for the first time in a long time. I know they only ended up with, what was it, like five runs in the end? Five runs in the end out of 16 hits. But nonetheless, like, you're getting contact. Bo went 4 for 5. Like, it was just, as we said, as good of things that could have happened yesterday to make you feel confident about sheltering and making your team feel like they're in a good start for Alec Manoah tonight.
Yeah, if you look at those two games like an aggregate, did they deserve to win both? Probably not.
Like, but they weren't the dominant
team.
Like this.
Yeah, they weren't the dominant team yesterday. No. They weren't the alphas out there on the
and
field.
And the White
yesterday.
Sox are not a really good baseball
team. Yeah, they found a way to win them, and they found a way in part because Chicago is the team that gives them away. Mm-hmm. But the Blue Jays found a way to win both ball games, and now, as we've mentioned, we've been talking about all week, it's important to make hay here. It's important to get wins over Chicago and Detroit and go into the All-Star break as close as possible to the teams that you're chasing in the wild card. And they have made up ground in the wild card. Very, very important
stuff.
Yankees
lost 14-1 yesterday to the Orioles.
They did.
14-1.
They did. So not gaining ground on the Orioles, but gaining ground
we'll
on the New York Yankees, of course. But these are the games. They're not must-win, but it's pretty close. Like, you got to put these in the bank. And they've done so. Through three games versus Chicago. Now they get to go to Detroit, where another three winnable games with the top three starters that you have entering the season scheduled to perform for you, beginning with Alec Manoah. And the bullpen's not taxed. It was used. It's not taxed. You should be ready to take at least two of three and go into the All-Star break on a really, really high note. Of course, if Alec Manoah turns in a good start, you're going to be in a really good position to do that.
All right, so Manoah on the mound tonight, 6:30 start. His last game was June 5th at the Rogers Center. 6 runs before recording even one out. Was booed off the field and demoted to the FCL.
Mm-hmm.
Pitched one game in the FCL, pitched one game in AA, and has made his return tonight. A very, like, unprecedented return as well. You know, like, I don't think we can fully find another MLB storyline that is exactly like this. We will talk to Buck Martinez, who was the Blue Jays manager when Roy Halladay was demoted to the minors and eventually returned to the big league. Maybe the closest parallel, at least Blue Jays related, that we can draw. Very different situations, but of course, similar in a sense. A lot of mental hurdles to overcome. We talked about it a lot with Alec Manoah. Like, what is the issue with Alec Manoah in terms of his performance? Is it 20% mental? Is it 50% mental? Is it 100% mental? Did he work on something in the two games that we didn't see that the Blue Jays staff were like, yep, he's back, right? Like, there's so many question marks. And I really hope for this young kid that tonight he at least just has a solid performance. I don't need him. Why are you smirking?
Because I'm just thinking about...
Why are you laughing?
I'm thinking about what we're doing after the break and the possibility of like, okay, we're very hopeful.
I'm trying my best. Like, yeah, I know.
But guess what? This is what the tarot cards say.
But like, honestly, if he just has a solid performance, like I don't think he doesn't need to go 7-8 innings like Barrios, but just get out, get soft contact, have a couple Ks, have a little confidence in yourself. Don't overextend him either. Like, I'm worried that something's going well. He's like 2 innings, he's looking good. 3 innings, he's looking good. And then, you know, he starts to tinker on the edge there and they give him another inning and that's where it blows up, right? Like, that's what I worry about. Don't push it too much today.
Yeah. I mean, you can't treat it like a starter bullpen day type of thing where it's like,
I feel like you should.
Bowden Francis immediately. But you're right. But then again, this is a guy who, it's not like he runs on confidence, but the confidence is a part of the issue
here. I think he runs
here.
On confidence more than anyone on this baseball team. Who else?
Yeah, I mean, okay, I guess. I don't know. I'm not in the heads of all these guys, but
I am.
I think
in all of them.
I think Vladdy would run on a bit of confidence because clearly the confidence maybe has been not there. And we were talking about bringing uncles in and bringing new ideas in and all this stuff. Like there might be a confidence issue there, but you're right. This is a guy built on bravado. He's built on being the alpha. He's built on being literally the bigger man, the guy who's a towering, imposing figure on the mound. And when he feels smaller, I don't think things go particularly well. So confidence can work two ways. He can be lights out through 3 innings. And if you take the ball from him, what are you doing to his confidence? Because I had it and you took it away from me. It's going to be a fascinating night. It's impossible to predict, but we will try to let the spirits do that very soon here.
I feel nervous. I just got like the little feelings.
Once the spa music comes on, we'll...
You know who is going to be the most confident in that ballpark is Alek Manoah. That's something I don't doubt.
You think
that? I think that he is going to...
Well, that's step one for me.
I seriously think that he had a big... This is just my thought process. Had a big hand in getting himself back into the rotation after 2 games. I think he said, I'm ready. Put me in there. I don't want to sit around anymore. I don't want to play these rinky-dink games against people we've never heard of. I want to get back in there and prove myself. Whether that's the right thing or not, I think Alek Manoah is going to come up with more confidence than anybody in that ballpark.
I'm not as convinced.
If that's not the case, though, it's not going to work out. Because he needs to come in there and own that mound like we've seen for an entire season before there. Walk the walk, talk the talk, tell Gerrit Cole to come past the Audi sign. Like, have the energy that you are a Cy Young finalist and maybe someone that should win that sometime this season. If you walk in there with a tiny bit of hesitation, with a tiny bit of doubt, it's game over.
I don't know how you can't have a little bit of that doubt. I think that's
Justin.
I think that's what he's got to overcome.
Yeah, that's it.
He's not been built different at any point this year.
Let's read a couple texts before you go to the tarot cards because I'm starting to warm them up. I'm holding them in my hand. Kristen Milton says, just the good old head under the sink between games to rinse off the sweaty skull.
That's half measures, buddy.
James in Ancaster says, a smelly 4-far is better than no 4-far. Awesome show, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you need someone, despite whether or not they smell, to burn Connor McDavid and goals.
Justin is the type to show up to the rink with only needing to tie his skates up, but he gets stressed at home.
Come on, man.
Do you know who that is?
No.
I love it. I hope it's just someone that wants to roast you, not a friend.
Put the name on there.
Do you remember getting dressed at home, though? I remember that. Like,
I don't. I mean, how can you remember that? So long ago.
I remember vividly the alarm, my parents waking me up. I must have been 4 years old.
Do you remember when you were 4 years old?
Because it shaped my hockey career. Okay. And getting changed in our living room.
Those were the moments that shaped you.
Getting changed in our living room and driving to the Sutton Arena, and I'm getting on the ice for the Sutton Rangers with my little skates that had green laces. I remember vividly.
I remember my father not getting me to games on time and jumping into the back seat and putting gear on because I'm going to be coming
in. Sounds
like
you were probably the problem there.
I was definitely not the problem there. Am I the one driving?
You were probably like slowly puttering around the house looking for your stuff.
No.
The eating between games seems weird. I can't even eat during work because I feel sluggish. Do these guys really get full in between games?
What do you do
I definitely
for work?
Shower but not eat until game 2.
How do you not eat?
Yeah, that is weird. What's your job, person in the text line, that you can't eat during work? Maybe if you're like a surgeon or something, you got to be like dialed.
But like, I would definitely need to eat or be shaking.
I get so hangry.
Trying to like,
just pull their spleen out. good morning, Ailish and Justin. I played in a hockey tournament in Erin, Old Rink. Ah, oh, beauty place. After the game, some of the other team came in and showered with us. Very strange. Jeff from Oakville.
Listen, hockey can get a little weird at times. The showers can get a little too, like, you know, enjoyable for people. But that's weird.
Maybe I've never heard
of teams showering together. I've heard of teammates waiting for others to shower.
Okay, it's like, Justin, that's enough.
It's camaraderie.
If you don't get excited, you can't be disappointed. Take what Manoa's got for the benefit of the other four starters. Love it. Love that. Love that positivity. Okay, I think it's time. I think it's time to take a break.
Pull the Band-Aid off, Ailish.
I think it's time to take a break. The tarot cards are in the studio. What is the future of Alec Manoa from the Spirit Whisperers? That's next.
Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Bam, 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 bam. Now it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Deep breath, everybody. It's time. The return of the tarot cards. The last time we pulled these out was around the...
So, just to interrupt you quickly here. There are people, especially people who believe in tarot cards, that believe life is all about the energy you put out. Mm-hmm. And if we're just putting negative energy out, assuming that this is going to be
bad... Literally, before we went to break, all I've been saying was good vibes.
You're kind of, like, nervous.
I'm a little nervous. This is a big thing.
This could be great.
It's going to be great.
It could be great.
Called manifesting.
It could be great.
Rob in downtown told us to throw these in the garbage and we shouldn't be doing them. But Rob, that's bad vibes. We can only do what we can do.
That's the negative energy I speak of.
To pull one of these. So I don't know if we have our
spa music.
See, I already feel better.
It is relaxing.
Give me a cucumber slice for my eyes. Okay. Okay. Okay, so the last time that we've done this three times.
One for the Raptors
and their trade deadline, which I think, who even knows what happened with them?
Yeah.
Raptors in their offseason.
There were some real things from there. Some things we could take and apply.
Dubas and the Leafs.
Dubas was, I don't know what the exact count was, but maybe 20 swords.
I thought it was like 18
plunging into his back.
It was a lot of swords.
Which really, the only sword that mattered was Shanahan's, but it was in Kyle's back.
Ooh, I'm ready. So, our tarot cards have arrived. I've been warming them up for this moment, and now I will take them out of the box.
It's good form to warm the cards.
And we will shuffle them a bit because they need to be... Apparently, you need to put your energy into the cards before you pull them. Now, we ask a simple question to the spirits, to the tarot cards. Today is a massive day. Maybe the biggest Blue Jays game of the season. All eyes will be on Alec Manoa on the mound, who makes his return after a short stint in the minors.
Maybe too short. Some say too short.
Maybe the question is as simple as this. What does the future hold for Alec Manoa? Now I will pull a card.
Okay.
I already think it looks good. It's the Ten of Diamonds.
Ten of Diamonds.
To me, it looks positive. Please, Justin.
I think there's a chance that we've pulled this card before.
Okay.
It's the Ten of Diamonds or the Ten of Pentacles.
Yep.
A key here, of course, is whether it's upright or reversed.
It is upright.
Upright. Legacy, roots, family, ancestry, inheritance, windfall, foundations, privilege, affluence, stability, tradition. The Ten of Pentacles card, or the Ten of Diamonds in this case... There's an old man seated in an archway leading into a great estate. We have had this card before. It seems he is the head of the family, for he is surrounded by younger loved ones. He wears a robe that is decorated with moon crescents and grapevines, indicating the joining of spirit and matter. He has his family and dogs with him. There's a happy couple in front of him, presumably his children, playful child behind this couple, his grandchild. The child playfully reaches out to pet the dog. Okay. Ten of Pentacles deals with permanence and satisfaction. The card shows that everything you have put your efforts into for a long time will pay off in the future.
Oh.
It suggests that everything will work out well in the end, for you have always kept the long-term picture in view.
Believe in yourself. Alec Manoah, that's all he does, is he puts the long-term picture, he works hard for it, and you said it's going to pay off?
Your legacy is sure to stand for quite a long time to come. This is a relief, for the path to get here has been filled with setbacks and challenges, making this point of the journey even sweeter.
Read that again. That's the line. That's the line, folks. This is it.
This is a relief, for the path to get here has been filled with setbacks and challenges, making this point of the journey even sweeter. In the card, the aged man is able to sit back and relax while watching the lives of his children and grandchildren. The satisfaction he derives. So I think this is a look into the future. I think this is a look into the future, right?
Yeah.
This is, everything's going to be okay. There is a future here, Alec Manoah.
Oh,
you're
going
to have children and grandchildren. Life is going to be beautiful. The satisfaction he derives from his achievement is interwoven in his children's happiness. So we're talking generations of happiness here.
Hey, you're getting a little bit too much into the family side of it. All I care about
I'm reading the card.
Positive hard work pays off. You've had setbacks and you will overcome them. And you'll look back at this moment and reflect upon it.
Here's a little extra.
Okay.
The Ten of Diamonds symbolism is rooted in both financial success and stability.
Who's got a payday coming?
It shows affluence and lack of financial struggle. It also implores you to make decisions that will not only have positive results in the present, but also in the long term. The decisions that you make should produce positive results that last for generations to come, trickling down to your offspring as well.
Smash the over Alec Manoah strikeouts. He's back.
Guys.
I think that card is as positive and cautiously positive and optimistic that we could have got.
And we're talking about what the future holds. This was about the future. This is about even beyond what's right in front of us. But in order to get to that point where grandchildren are playing in the yard for Alec Manoah, this start tonight, this season has to go well.
Eric in Georgetown texts in, all right, it's settled then. Looks like Manoah is chucking a no-no tonight.
I think that went really well.
Okay, here's another one. I think that 10 of Diamonds means that Alec Manoah's distant future is going to be great, but in the near future, he's going to bomb. Cheers. We're going to trade him and have a great career with someone else. Yeah. No!
I mean, I guess you have to assume that what happens today will set the tone for his entire life.
Oh my God, no pressure.
I'm just saying. I mean, you can't really quibble with that.
Derek,
there was a lot of long-term stuff, but it was about the journey and how a little setback will set the tone for a life of profit and happiness. That's what I got out of it.
I think that's fair. Derek from Newmarket says, you can't just pick and choose which part of the cards you like. Full of obstacles. What else does the card say?
Well, I read everything.
Maybe you texted
about
that before you finished, because sometimes it takes a minute or two.
I mean, you didn't want to hear about the family, but I just went to the next.
Boring. I want to know how many strikeouts he's going to get so I can bet it.
Again, the tarot's about interpretation.
Did the tarot say his line tonight?
It's not like I glossed over the part where he's like, he's going to give up six earned. Like, that didn't happen.
Watch out. That first batter is getting a leadoff home run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, how does everybody feel about that? 590, 590. I feel good.
A little bit of a weight off your shoulders? Yeah.
I feel ready to pitch tonight.
There you go.
Okay? Because there's some bad cards in there. There is a card that's like the death card, okay? And it's in this deck, and it didn't show up. So, like, that's a positive in its own. There's scary cards.
Don't look at the cards.
I'm just saying, like, there are bad ones in here. So, fate is fate. Like, the tarot cards don't mess around.
You don't have to couch it. That was undeniably positive.
Hell yeah. Ooh, can you say that after tarot cards?
Yeah.
Is that bad
when spirit? When you slam it down, it's officially over. Actually, once the spa music stopped, that's
yeah, okay,
that's
now,
when it was over.
Now we're moving on.
Can we hit an A-list?
Yeah, we got an A-list story for you as well. While we all just, like, decompress through that. Welcome to the NBA, Victor Wembanyama. What on earth is he? Let me read you this headline, because it's like, you remember when you used to do Mad Libs?
Yeah.
And you fill in noun, adjective, whatever the other ones are called,
sure.
Pronouns.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's been
verbs?
A while. Verb.
I was looking for a verb in there.
This to me sounds like a fake headline, like AI generated. Ready? Britney Spears was allegedly slapped in the face by Victor Wembanyama's security guard.
Yeah, that happened, apparently.
It's not funny.
I don't know.
But I need to read you the context of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's get the whole story.
So a member of Victor Wembanyama's security detail has been accused of backhanding Britney Spears in the face after she asked Victor Wembanyama for a photo. They're in L.A., apparently at Catch Restaurant at the Aria Hotel in Vegas. The story from both are a little bit different, of course, but...
Wait, is it L.A. or Vegas? Didn't you say L.A.?
Yeah, I did. I definitely meant Vegas.
Okay.
Las Vegas, yep. Yeah. I'm just...
Summer League.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So apparently, when you try to debunk this story, Britney Spears approached Victor Wembanyama from behind after seeing him, be like, oh, I'd love to get a photo with him, and tapped him on the shoulder. This is one side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Wembanyama's security guard smacked her in the face, apparently, because they was getting swarmed. I mean, he's 7'4" and is pretty noticeable. Spears has come out with her side of the story. Victor Wembanyama apologized on behalf of his security and said that he had really no idea what was going on. Like, he was just focused on going straight. Like, something happened. A person was calling him from behind. His idea of what happened was that the security team just, like, pushed her away. He did say he didn't know with how much force. So that's important to state. Brittany says, she posted quite a lengthy statement about it. I know she's been in and out of the media for her own stories. But she said that she tapped him on the shoulder to get his attention. She did not grab him from behind. She nearly just wanted a photo. She knows what it's like to be swarmed by people. She never would have put herself or him in a situation that was uncomfortable. Nonetheless, this situation seems toxic.
We're going to have to come back into toxic to start the 7 a.m. hour, I think. Yeah, I mean, this is not good. If you gave me a thousand guesses on how Victor Wembanyama's like career would start, like
the first headline
when it's like, okay, post draft, he's starting his career.
He hasn't even played a game yet. Tonight he is.
I would have never come up with, yeah, his team struck and assaulted Britney Spears. Never in my life could have. But this is why the people have people. Like, Britney Spears' people need to be like, hey, I'm Britney Spears.
Yeah, maybe you don't go up Britney Spears. Like,
yeah, Britney Spears running up tapping people probably shouldn't happen. That said, we probably don't need to be throwing backhands around when people are tapping people
100%.
On the shoulder. Maybe it is unnecessary, but what's most unnecessary is the definite violence coming back.
And it's,
like, a little overzealous. Maybe we're not, like, Victor Wembanyama's still taking his steps. Maybe his team doesn't know how to act yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously unfortunate. It does scream like artificial intelligence, randomized sort of weird headline that doesn't make any sense in the world. And I definitely thought it was parody when I first saw it.
I did as well. Obviously, if this is like the severity of it, you never want to have that happen ever to anybody, celebrity, regular fan, stranger, whatever. But I just thought tonight is the night that Victor Wembanyama makes his debut. We talked about this yesterday in the A-list. It's a sold out summer league game, 19,000 people in attendance. Tickets are going for hundreds of dollars. And it's going to be a big star-studded event. I don't know if Britney Spears will want to attend, but they've hashed it out, publicly accepted the apologies. Just a crazy welcome to the NBA. One more for you.
There you go.
Do you remember crypto? What happened?
Remember crypto?
What happened to crypto?
Yeah, I am.
The crypto bros this morning are like, what do you mean, remember crypto? It's still up. Tom Brady and Giselle, they had their hand in some FTX.
Cryptocurrency. That was a disaster.
It's been made public that they lost $48 million. When FTX crashed last year.
I'll be honest, I think that's not like commonplace for people involved in FTX, but I think there were worse results from that.
But I just think, I remember the time where it was like the thing.
Yes.
We don't really talk about it anymore. J- just like NFTs. I still don't get it. I don't understand what an NFT is.
Well, there was the headline the other day that, sorry to interrupt you, the headline the other day that Peter Holland was coming back, and wasn't he like, he like switched careers to become a crypto guy, like a crypto finance guy, and now he's trying to find it.
Are there still
a hockey team to play for?
Are there still
that
crypto
kind of tells
guys
you what's going
there?
On with crypto.
Are there still crypto guys out there? Are you listening? And are there still NFT guys out there? Are you listening?
Because they're all buying the dip right now.
That's right.
Big time buying the dip.
Anywho, just be wise about your money.
Diversify. Don't make it so FTX is the end for you.
No. And please explain NFTs and if you still care. I just took a screenshot of that monkey and I'm fine. Remember that monkey?
You don't own the monkey though.
It's on my desktop.
But it's not like dancing on your desktop.
I don't care about it. Here's a zag. You pulled the 10 of diamonds. When scorekeeping baseball and someone gets a run, it's filled in as a diamond. Maybe Manoah's going to give up 10 runs tonight.
No, I mean, that's a negative take for sure. But I think the diamond makes a lot of sense. We pulled the positive card using the diamond for the baseball pitcher who struggled on the diamond.
David from Pickering says 10 of diamonds signifies 10 Ks. See, take it as you'd like. David and Pickering, we love you. He's got the positive spin. You know who always has a positive spin and is always listening? Our buddy, John Morosi, joins us after the break. He's on Threads. It's cool. we're going to ask him about Threads because I kind of am over it already.
Well, John's on, I'm on.
Over it? Yeah, kind of. Vivek Jacob joins us at 7:30. We'll do a little Raptors and a little Wimbledon. Buck Martinez at 8 a.m. And Ron Baker, a blast from the past, former NBA guard who played with not only Fred VanVleet, but also helped Grady Dick become himself. And Grady Dick gave him a shout out. So we get a double header of conversation with Ron Baker. That's the end of the show. We'll do a little wake and rake. And we need an update on the John Deere standings because you are in a very profitable position right now. I don't know if you've looked.
I'm not sure. I'm like,
you're doing all right.
It's a good start.
You guys are looking good.
Not counting my,
I'm trying to
count the eggs.
Jinx you. John Morosi's next.